Life Audio.
Hey loves, I'm Dana Shea. I've been married for over 25 years to my childhood sweetheart, Sean. But our marriage hasn't always been sweet. There were some really dark nights caused by betrayal and conflict. We were so disconnected. Over the last decade, we've learned the tools to rebuild our marriage into something greater than we ever hoped for. And I want to help you do the same. As a marriage and relationship coach, I can give you the blueprint for how to rebuild your relationship. You're not here today by chance, friend. So turn up the volume and let me be your guide to rebuilding your life and rebuilding your love. Welcome to the Rebuilding Us podcast. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to have that conversation, but you had no idea how to start it? Maybe you realized that it was just going to open up a can of worms or maybe even start an unnecessary conflict. Well, friend, I have just the tips for you. Download my free resource today called Conversation Starters for Couples in Conflict. Now, this is not just for couples. This is for anyone that you might need to have a conversation with that could potentially be a conflicting conversation. Get your free resource today at danashea.com/conversation starters. That's danashe.com/conversation starters, and be on your way to less awkward conversations today. Welcome to the show today, friends. If you clicked on this particular episode, then that means that you have unfortunately found out that your spouse is having an affair, or maybe you listened to episode 231 and some of those warning signs of an affair triggered something and you think that maybe your spouse has been unfaithful. Maybe you're listening to this podcast episode because you have a friend or a family member or someone that you're trying to help, and they are walking through this very sad and traumatic time in their marriage or in their relationship. I want to welcome you to a really honest conversation. I'm going to be sharing a little bit of my story, and today's episode, I want to be able to really just kind of give you a virtual hug first and foremost. When you find out that your spouse has been unfaithful, it is traumatic. You are experiencing trauma right now. And it's really important that we really lay that baseline, that we understand what is really happening here. This is not a light situation. This isn't no big deal. This is a big deal, especially if you're married. You've committed your life to someone. You have entered into a covenant with someone, and that person has now violated that covenant and destroyed your trust. So if no one else validates you, if no one else validates your pain and the anger and the angst that you're feeling right now, I want to make sure that I validate it. It matters. So if you all have listened to the podcast for any length of time, you know that my husband Sean and I are pretty transparent about the infidelity that we experience in our relationship. If you haven't already listened to episode 229, I want to encourage you to do so. This is where Sean and I actually talk about why we had affairs, why we found ourselves in that situation. Again, it is not an excuse, but there are reasons. And so that is just a snippet, a very small snippet of our story. I remember sitting at a computer desk in our little apartment living room, and I had somehow figured out a way to get into Sean's email. And I got into the email, and what I saw sent me to a state of shock. I knew that Sean and I were having problems. I knew that our marriage wasn't necessarily in a healthy state, but I really didn't think that he was being unfaithful to me. Or maybe I thought it, but I was still holding out hope that no, he wouldn't do something like that. And when I found the emails from this particular woman, it was confirmed. It was clear as day what was going on. And I just remember sitting there and literally just feeling numb. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're just numb right now. Maybe you are trying to help someone who's numb right now, and you're wondering, what's the next step? Like, what do we do? So the first thing that I want to tell you today, friend, is to respond. Do not react. Respond. What's the difference? when you respond to the situation, and I'm going to give you some ways to respond in just a moment, that is a strategic plan. Reaction is, I'm going to throw your computer off the balcony. I'm going to torch your car. I'm going to key your car, slash your tires. I'm going to go up to your job and scream and tell everybody what you've done. Those are all reactions. And they might make you feel better initially, but then when you kind of come to yourself, you're going to realize that wasn't the best way to handle things. Calling the other woman or the other man, that's not the best way to handle things. But I do want you to respond. You need to respond. You don't need to brush this under the rug and just say, you know what, we're going to get over this in a few years. Mm-mm. There's a better way to respond. When we have faced infidelity, it is important, as I said before, that you realize this is a trauma. You have been traumatized. Now, does that mean that you're forever a victim and you're just never going to get your life back on track? Of course not. I don't believe in that. I believe that you can overcome any and everything that you face in your life. But what is true right now is that there's been a collision. So I want you to imagine if you were driving down the road, minding your own business. It's a beautiful spring day. You've got the windows down, listening to your favorite song, and boom, out of nowhere, a semi truck hits you. That's what has happened to you when you find out that your spouse has been unfaithful. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to understand that you are likely going to be in a state of shock. What happens in the physical when someone is in shock? Well, the EMTs or the 911 dispatcher or someone will tell someone, leave the person alone. Lay them flat if possible. Don't move them. Don't try to get them to get up and walk around and talk about. No. Like right now is the time to be still. I think of a scripture in Psalm 46:10 that says, be still and know that I am God. Whenever I read that scripture, I always say, I am still God. Be still and know that I am still God. God isn't like, you know, oh my gosh, what just happened? He's not surprised. You might be in shock, but unfortunately, he's not. He knows everything. He sees everything. He saw this before it was coming, which means that he has prepared and equipped you to be able to walk through this journey. I know that right now it might seem like you can't get through it. Right now it might seem like there's no way. Nothing is ever going to be the same. How am I ever going to be the same? But just know that that's all shock speaking. So I just want to give you permission to be still, to not feel like you have to figure everything out, to not have to come up with the plan right away, but to just be still. The other thing that I want to tell you is that I need you to get a trauma team around you. Again, you were just in a collision with a semi-automatic truck. Somebody's got to dispatch 911. Somebody's got to bring the medics to you. A trauma team. Who is on your trauma team? This is where pastors, if you have a good church and great pastors, this is where pastors are going to come in. This is where your best friend is going to come in. This is where if you have a close family member, someone that you trust with your deepest, darkest secrets, right? These are not people who are on the periphery of your lives. These are not neighbors. Your trauma team is not the whole church. Your trauma team is not your coworkers. Okay. Your trauma team needs to be small, a few people that you are transparent and vulnerable enough with to say, you guys, I have been in a collision. I need help. I need support. You don't even know what you need yet, though. But if you allow these people to come around you and to love on you and to listen to you, there's not a lot of advice that needs to be happening at this stage. So if you do bring someone in and they're like, okay, what you need to do, okay, that person needs to not be on the trauma team. All right. Who else can we bring in that they're not going to give you a whole bunch of advice right now, but they're going to listen. They're going to cry with you. They're going to let you cry. They're going to let you emote. They're not going to try to minimize what you're feeling. They're not going to try to religialize what you're feeling. They're just going to let you feel. That's your trauma team. And I pray to God that you have one because it is vitally important. I get asked a lot of times, should I tell anybody about the affair? Absolutely. Yes. You would never get in a collision and not tell anybody. You need to call somebody who's trained, though, to know what to do, right? And again, that's where that small team is going to come around you and really just be a source of support for you until you can make sense of what has just happened to you. The third thing that I want to tell you is that I need you to get safe and be safe. What do I mean by that? Get safe. I don't know the state of, let's say it's a wife who just found out her husband was being unfaithful. I don't know what your husband's state is. Is he angry? Is he feeling so much guilt that he's going to try to do something, retaliate? I don't know. But make sure that you're safe, that you're physically safe. If your spouse is not a safe person right now, get away from them. I'm not telling you to go divorce them at this stage, but you need to be safe. And then you need to be safe. You need to be a safe person. So real talk, if you have weapons or if you have pills and things that you might take or you might give to someone else, then you need to get those things away from you. This is where your trauma team can come in and you can say, you guys, I've got some pills I need you to go dispose of. Hey, y'all, I need you to get rid of these weapons for now. Like, I'm just being really honest with you all. These are thoughts are going to go through your mind that are not going to be normal thoughts. So this is where when we don't have people around us, we are left to our own devices. And this is when we can make some horrifically damaging choices. So get some people around you that you can be honest with and that can help you to get safe and be safe. All right, friends, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. I have so much more to share with you, including the pathway to grief. I think that grief is one of the primary things that you need to be doing at this particular stage. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, friends, we are back. I want to really underscore the importance of grieving well. Unfortunately, if you're a Christian, if you've been a Christian for a long time, we don't necessarily know how to grieve well a lot. A lot of times people will give you a Bible verse. They'll tell you things like, well, you know, the Lord has a good plan for this and God is able to use all of this for your good. And that's true. That is what the Bible says, but it's not necessarily helpful when you're in the middle of shock and trauma. So I'm not going to throw a lot of scriptures your way. I am going to encourage you to grieve. Grief is so healing. When you can allow yourself to process the pain of what you have just experienced. No one likes pain. No one likes to invite pain into their lives, but you didn't invite it. It showed up at your doorstep, it knocked on the door, and it let itself in. And so here you are sitting with this pain. And if you don't grieve properly, that pain will become a permanent residence in your home or in your heart. So the best thing to do is to say, you know what, pain, you're here. I didn't invite you here, but you're here. All right. This is how I'm going to respond to you. I'm going to grieve. What does grieving look like? There's lots of different models of grief. There's lots of people who teach on grief. There are literally grief experts, grief counselors. And I would recommend if that's something that you need to go deeper, that you do that. One of the resources that I love to share with people who are in different stages of grief, whether it's they're grieving a death, they're grieving the death of a marriage, they're grieving a loss of some type, a death of a dream. There is a short little book, you guys. It's called Good Grief by Granger Westberg. And I'll make sure to link to it in the show notes. That book transformed my life when I was going through deep, deep grief. And I've referred to it many times of different grief situations in my life. And so in that book, Westberg actually gives a formula. Now, when I say formula, I don't mean like step one, step two, step three. The grief cycle is a cycle, but it's different for everybody. So you might start off your grief process in depression, and then you might end it in acceptance. You might start in anger and end in acceptance. You might start in shame and end in acceptance. So I'm just going to kind of run through some of what you might be feeling when you're actually grieving. Please hear me when I say this is a good thing for you to feel. The first one is depression. You're not smiling and at the mall shopping after you find out that your spouse has been unfaithful. There's a level of depression, deep sadness. That is a normal and a healthy response to what has happened to you. So if you're feeling depressed, like I am not prone to depression. I'm a very happy-go-lucky, optimistic. I love laughter and fun and light, right? So when I do experience depression, it is incredibly uncomfortable for me. I don't like it. I don't like to sit in it. I will reject it. But when I realize that, hold on, Dana, like take a beat, sit with the sadness for a second, just let it be. Now, you shouldn't be depressed in 6 months or 12 months, okay? Now we're talking about something that's potentially clinical that you're going to need some therapeutic help with. But this short season of just sadness and loss, that's totally, totally normal. Something else that you might experience in this grieving process is anger. Anger, a lot of times you guys have maybe heard me say that anger is a cover emotion, but anger is also letting you know that there has been an injustice somewhere. There is a thing called righteous anger. We see even in scriptures where Jesus becomes angry at certain times, God gets angry. So anger in and of itself is not wrong. In this situation, anger shows you this is not right. And I have a natural and appropriate response to that, which is anger. Now, the Bible does say, in your anger, do not sin. So we can't, again, go and light the car on fire and then say, well, my husband cheated on me. That's why I did it. No, we've got to be able to still have some sort of self-control here, even when dealing with our anger. But anger is a natural response to trauma. Something else that you might experience is denial. This is a big one. When you have been traumatized, the brain and our emotions can only take so much input. Once we max out, and everybody has a different capacity level, once you max out, then what happens is you will go into denial. You will pretend that that thing did not happen. This is when, let's say you've ever experienced the loss of someone, someone has died, and you think that can't happen. That's not true. And you're literally in a state of disbelief. You will not acknowledge the truth of what happened. This happens in adultery, where you won't acknowledge, yes, your spouse literally was unfaithful to you. Yes, they have been carrying on in a whole nother relationship for 2 years right under your nose. Denial. But it's important that we learn how to accept it. And we'll get to acceptance in a little bit. But if you're facing denial, it's a part of the grieving process. Bargaining. We bargain with God. God, if you would only take away this pain, I will make sure that I read my Bible every day. Maybe you bargain with your spouse. If you'll just tell me that you love me, just tell me that you didn't mean it. Tell me that this didn't mean anything to you. We bargain. Bargaining is a part of the process, but it's not going to be helpful for you in the long run. Something else that you might experience is guilt. I caused this to happen. If only I would have been more sexy, more attentive, whatever, fill in the blank. If only I would have been. You feel guilt unnecessarily because guess what? You're not the one who was unfaithful. Your spouse was, your partner was. So you do not bear any guilt. But what happens a lot of times when we're grieving is that we will take on someone else's actions and then we will feel guilty about something that they did. You might also be experiencing blame. Now, blame and guilt are similar, but blame is now where you're not necessarily taking it on yourself. You're blaming everybody else. You might not necessarily blame your spouse. I see this a lot in marriage coaching where I will have a couple sitting in front of me and the person who was cheated on will blame everybody except the one who did the cheating. So maybe you do blame your spouse. Appropriately so. They are the ones who did the action, right? But there are times that we blame other people. You might blame the other woman. You might blame the other man. You might blame your spouse's parents. You might blame your children. I mean, depending on where you are in your emotional state right now, the list can be long. But blame is definitely a sign of grief. Physical distress. Do you know that people can actually die from a broken heart? The pain of what you are experiencing can be so much that it causes you physical distress. Some people won't eat. Some people throw up. Some people have all kinds of stomach and gastrointestinal issues. Some people, they feel the shakes, or they have elevated heart rate, their blood pressure. There's something going on in your physical body in response to what you have just found out. So if you feel in distress physically, seek medical care. It is real. You might literally need a doctor to check you out and make sure that you're okay. Another one of the cycles or symptoms, I guess, of grief is resistance. It's similar to denial, but resistance is where you're just resisting this whole process. You're thinking, I can fix this. I can make this right. This isn't really what it is, and I'm going to somehow make this something other than what it is. Resistance. Obviously, we know that that's not going to work, right? But we're tempted sometimes to resist what needs to happen in this relationship right now. Panic. That's a given. When you're going through grief, a lot of times you'll panic. And what happens when you panic is you react. And this is why I started the episode with saying, respond, don't react. Because when you're in panic mode, you start to make decisions that aren't good. You start to do things that aren't going to be helpful in the long run. And again, everyone is different. So you might experience panic and then denial and then anger and then depression. Or you might experience guilt and then bargaining and then blame and then physical distress. Everyone is different and you might not experience all of these symptoms. But hopefully, when you go through the grieving process properly, you will get to a place of hope and acceptance. Acceptance is the final stage where you don't say, I'm glad that that happened to me, but you say, I accept that this is the truth. This is really what happened in my marriage. My spouse really was unfaithful to me and broke my heart and damaged my trust. I've accepted that that is really what happened. Do you know that there are some people who never get to the acceptance stage? They stay in bargaining for years. They stay in denial for years. They stay in blame for years. And I want more for you. I want you to be able to go through the process, whatever that looks like for you, and get to a place of hope and acceptance where you say, you know what? This is what happened, but I still have hope. Remember, He is still God. He still sits on the throne. He still has a perfect plan and purpose for your life, regardless of what has happened to you. So I just want to encourage you today. Again, maybe you just found out this information and your heart is still really raw and you're still very tender. I want you to be gentle with yourself and surround yourself with others who are going to be gentle with you. This is not the time for you to go to a deliverance ceremony at church and they're slaying you in the spirit and you're, you know, all that's great. That's wonderful. But right now you've been traumatized. So just allow yourself some space and some time. You don't have to make any decisions right now. Don't feel the need to be like, he's going to move out or she's going to. You don't have to make any of those decisions right now. Right now, you need to lay down, put your feet up, get your trauma team around you, breathe, put some worship music on if that's your thing, if that's going to help. I know it certainly helped me. And allow God to love you. And allow yourself to grieve. So we're going to continue to talk about what is next, okay? In the next episode, you guys, we're going to talk about, should I confront? What decisions do I need to make? Can I trust again? There's so much more that we're going to cover in this Affair Proof series. So be sure that you come back every single week so that you can continue along this journey. And listen, if you're listening to this podcast episode again, as a friend, as maybe you're someone on somebody else's trauma team, then let me just please encourage you. The best thing that you can do for someone is really pray for them. And I'm not talking about like, oh, God bless them. No, like really pray for them. Pray for their emotional state. Pray that they would not listen to the lies of the enemy that tells them everything that they're not. Pray that they would surround themselves with positive people who can encourage them, support, strengthen them. Prayer is the best thing that you can do. And then the second best thing that you can do is just be a listening ear. That person might say things that are wild and crazy and make no sense. Remember that they're in a state of shock. It's okay. Just be a listening ear. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to give a whole bunch of advice. Don't offer to confront somebody. Just sit with them and just be a good friend, a good listener. So thank you all so much for listening today. I pray that you will continue on this healing journey. Maybe this happened to you in years past and you're realizing today, oh shoot, I never actually grieved the loss. Then I pray that this episode will help you to start or at least continue your grieving process. So as we love to end every episode, you all, we love to end every episode with a positive affirmation, because what you think of yourself and especially what you speak of yourself shapes your world. I believe that words shape our world. So today's affirmation is, I can be still in the presence of a loving Father. Let's say that together. I can be still in the presence of a loving Father. One more time. I can be still in the presence of a loving Father. God loves you. He is for you. He has not forgotten about you. He is with you. So I pray that you have a peaceful rest of your day, and be sure to join us next week where we're going to continue this series on Affair Proof. Love you guys so much. Take care, and I'll see you on the next episode.